Whoa, man, that looks even better than it did in the picture.
Child, you know that's because in the picture it didn't have zombie takeout.
Nice. What's up? Welcome to episode 105 of Zombie
Zombie
Takeout,
motherfucking
the B movie and cult movie podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And before we get to this week's movie, of course, we have a bit of listener submitted. This is from John Phillips on our Facebook page in reference to last week's episode. At first, he said, "Did not even get to the end of the show and found out you're doing Kick-Ass next week. Awesome." Then he went on to.
This week.
Well, you, of course, meeting this week.
When will then be now?
Soon. And then he went on to say, "Scotto, you need to do a post on your feelings on Bat Cinema. While I do agree that Ledger probably didn't deserve to win, he should have at least been nominated, regardless if he died or not." Little inside baseball. I've been on you to do a blog post for ages, so I completely agree with John on this one.
Oh, man. Well, you know, by next week I'm going to have, like, a second night job.
Okay. You write it, I'll post it. So just write the thing. I'll
but
do
yeah,
everything else.
My history with the whole Batman franchise is with the exception of Forever, the one with the one with Jim Carrey.
Kilmer, yeah.
Yeah, that one I knew was gonna be a turkey and you know, didn't even bother with it. So
that's
that one,
actually the only one I saw in the theaters.
Really?
Yeah.
You never saw the original?
Not in the theaters, no.
Oh my god. I remember waiting online for that motherfucker on opening day.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wasn't really a Batman fan until recently. I've started reading with the new the reboot, the new 52, and I've become a huge fan, but I was never a DC guy before then. I was always
well, because
a Marvel zombie.
Right before the movie came out was, you know, Death in the Family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I wasn't even really into comics at all until Death in the Family. Then I was like, "Wow, they just killed the motherfucker." So then it was just, yeah, what can I, you know, get? And then I was all on board. And they're doing a movie out of it, and it's gonna be, yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
plus, I was really skeptical of Keaton, which fortunately he turned out pretty well, but.
I think he did. I think, at least in the first one.
We were all skeptical of Keaton before
but
we saw it.
Really, the thing with Batman was it wasn't the dude in the suit, because there's only so much acting you can do in the suit anyway.
True.
It's really the villains that are the main part of the movie, and you get Jack Nicholson, you're good. Heath Ledger even, you know, you're set.
There's actually, as I've been reading the new one recently, I've realized, and I've read a few runs before this, there's a flaw with any Batman movie. Because there's something he does in all the books that you can't get away with in a movie. Or even in animation. Every time he's in the costume, he's doing an ongoing sit rep. He's talking about his strategy, you know, what has happened to him, what he's going to do. And that really gives him a character in costume. It puts you in his head. And you can't get away with that in any kind of movie or TV or animation or whatnot.
No, unless they did like a 24 sort of thing where they had, you know, some split screen action going on, which might not be a bad idea.
Mm. Yeah. But you know, it works written on a page, you hearing what he's thinking, but it does, you know, I'm not sure how you could get away with it.
But I'm surprised I've gotten away with. I've said the one movie that, you know, I had no investment in, which was Jim Carrey.
Right.
When there are other abominations in the franchise.
True. Yeah.
that I'm surprised I've gotten off with here.
They steadily went down. You know, the first one at the time was good. As I said last time, I don't think it held up. I still liked Returns. You disagree on that.
Yeah.
But Forever was a little worse than Returns. I thought it was okay. Was you know, I was kind of mostly ambivalent about it, and then we had Batman and Robin, which was the travesty.
Right. And I even have, a great story for that one too. So yeah, I should write a blog entry. I mean, we more almost, I don't know what, if it would just be a blog or
Yeah.
a blog for each movie. I don't know.
Well, right, have whatever you want to do with it.
Yeah.
That's your call, man. All right, on to some news. First story from The Hollywood Reporter. Police Academy remake to be directed by Scott Zabielski. New Line
What's he
Cinema.
done?
Well, I'm getting to that.
Okay.
New Line Cinema is entrusting its Police Academy franchise to first-time director Scott Zabielski. Zabielski has helmed episodes of Comedy Central's Tosh.0 and is a reserve police officer in West Hollywood. Original producer Paul Maslansky is back for the new iteration, which aims to reboot the seven-film comedy series about a ragtag group of police recruits who repeatedly are called to save the city. David Diamond and David Weissman, from When in Rome, wrote the most recent draft of the script. Now, I first heard about this on the recent episode of Film State, and the host made a great point. Police Academy is not about the plot. It's not about the story. It's about the performers. It was the actors who, quote unquote, actors who they had in the role who made the movies, at least the first one
Right.
or two. One was good, two was okay. From there, they went down. You're not going to find another Michael Winslow. Or Hightower, Bubba Smith.
I'm trying to get over the fact that they actually used the phrase entrusting the franchise
Yeah,
with
yeah, yeah, yeah.
as if this were some precious commodity.
Right.
You wouldn't want to,
Like rolling back the conversation a bit, like Batman, that was entrusting the franchise to Nolan most recently. But Police Academy, no, it's a cash grab.
All right. Handing over the Batman series to Nolan, it was handing over a car that had been in some accidents.
But it
It had
was
gotten some dents, had gotten bashed up. Handing
but
Police
it but
Academy
it
over?
was it was a Rolls that had been bashed up a little bit.
Handing Police Academy over is giving the car from Trains, Planes, and
Right.
Automobiles.
Exactly.
They're. It was a one movie deal. That had no business even having a sequel to it, honestly.
True, true.
Let alone being a franchise.
Right.
It's just insane that they would.
One sequel was stretching it, the rest were
Right.
completely bloody unnecessary, and yeah.
It's just like American Pie.
Yeah.
One shot deal. Great. It's a good movie, but
Yeah.
why not?
And to be honest, I've seen most of them, even the ones that didn't feature the original cast, that made the straight to video ones.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed most of them, but you're right. They could have easily stopped with the first one, and it was a really good movie. It would have been very satisfying.
Right, and it's something that well, on this day of SOPA, we should have really taken our site down, but I guess we can't afford to do that, can we?
Well, I don't think we have enough people visiting it to may really be relevant, especially on the day before an episode comes out.
Yeah.
No one would have noticed.
Exactly. So,
I did my share of posting on various social networks about it to raise attention.
But I mean, Hollywood needs to understand that they need to change. They cannot operate on this same mode of we
No.
just want a movie that makes money in 2 weeks, and then anything else, is just gravy on top of that.
And they're mining the 80s for most of these ideas, which is the weird part, because are they trying to sell it to our age and slightly older, or are they hoping the next generation aren't aware of these properties and thinks that there's something new?
I think they're hoping for both, really. They're marketing to us and some older, of course, and hoping that the kids just don't get that this is a remake of something else.
Long story short, I with Police Academy, if they get the right people, it could be decent, but I mean, you know, it's a one shot money cash grab at
Right.
best.
I mean, it's comedians doing a cop movie, and it really wasn't about the action. In fact,
No.
that's where the most of those sequels fell apart, was when they tried to instill some sort of plot in there.
The great thing about the first one was the casting.
Yeah, I can't even remember which one it was. They just had this ridiculously long chase scene that took up, I forget how much screen time, but then, yeah, I mean, it went from cars to boats to foot. I mean, it was just, were we watching a comedy again? I forget.
And so I think that leads us to our next story. Speaking of bad movies, you won't have George Lucas to cook around anymore, is from AV Club. And yes, everybody has covered this story, but we got to put our two cents in as well.
Yeah.
George Lucas has said in a New York Times interview, quote, "I'm retiring. I'm moving away from the business, from the company, from all this kind of stuff." Lucas says he plans to follow his friend Francis Ford Coppola's example and instead focus on making, quote unquote, more
Wine.
personal films, described as small in scope, esoteric in subject, and screened mostly at art houses. Why would I make any more when everybody yells at you all the time and says you are a ter says what a terrible person you are, Lucas grumbled of Star Wars fans, comparing their pleas to stop changing everything about the films to the dictatorial demands of the studios. He then said that he changed it so Greedo shot Han first in the original scene because the original scene was, quote, a violation of his naive style. He even dismisses Steven Spielberg's recent claim that the nuke the fridge sequence in the last Indiana Jones movie was Spielberg's idea, saying he was trying to protect him. This reads like something from The Onion.
Yeah. What has gone on with Lucas?
He's saying he doesn't want us whining at him anymore, and so he's taking his ball and going home.
I mean, really, I wanted to just see him make art house kind of movies
Well,
years ago.
okay, I'm of two minds on this. And it's a long shot that he'll actually do this. I think it's a
Right.
Robert Smith, Ozzy Osbourne kind of retirement.
Mm-hmm.
But if he does, that means he won't be messing with Star Wars anymore, which is good.
Well, what
However,
more can he do with it? They're all coming out in 3D, right?
well, there will be more new additions if he's still there. He'll find more ways to change it. But on the other hand, art house films generally require acting,
Yeah.
and he's proven he can't direct acting.
That's been the
Gr he's
problem more
great
than
with the
anything
action
else.
sequences, but not with but when you have two people talking to each other, that's not really his strong suit. So I really kind of don't want to see him do an art house film. You know, it would be a complete mess, I think.
Yeah, probably would.
Think about your average indie art house film. They're basically filmed plays. They're people talking to each other.
Right.
That is the absolute last thing that Lucas should even be thinking about doing.
Well, unless he does something like the artist or something like that, which I
Well,
can't.
okay, yeah.
I almost had a chance to see that, but
I intend to at some point. I'm curious. I don't know. I've heard very mixed reviews, but I have to see it just out of curiosity.
that played at the film festival I had been to earlier this year, but that was completely sold out. There was no way to get into that one.
So I guess that brings us to this week's movie.
Should we talk about SOPA first, or
Well, what else is there to say? If you've been paying, excuse me, if you've been paying any attention to any social networks, there people have been posting about it ad nauseum, probably.
Yeah.
I will include some educational links on this episode after the episode description for those who want to learn a bit more.
Because, well, I mean,
And as we're recording this, the blackout has exactly a half hour left.
But, I mean, if something like this were to pass, I don't know how we would do this show.
As it is, we're actually, with the exception of some of the album art early on, before I knew the rules, we're actually pretty good with fair use.
Yeah.
The clips, I stay within the rules of fair use, as in the intros. And those are the only points where they where we even skirt it.
But they're at the point where, you know, they can say,
well, yeah.
Well, they're talking about this movie and this character and this work.
Yeah.
You know, is that a violation of the copyright laws as well,
and,
since
and
we're
fair
unauthorized
use,
reviewing it?
And there is no, well, there's no such thing as an authorized review. That would be that would be like those really glowing reviews you see on Amazon that you know somebody from the company wrote.
Yeah, but this isn't that, we're not that far away from that.
Yeah, true.
We're really not.
And,
there's
and,
a case of a dude that had his, somebody yelped his business,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't favorable. So the business owner went nuts and stalked this person and created a fake blog in this person's name, talking about her being a drug addict and a prostitute and stuff.
One person losing their shit is kind of okay in my book. The issue is when you try to legislate that.
Right.
You know, what that person did was completely against the law.
Right.
Understandable, I guess, but, you know.
I'm just saying, though, we are
an overreaction.
Not far from that
yeah.
being the legislated
mm-hmm.
thing. 'Cause, I mean, why are these two industries dictating the policy anyway?
Lobbyists.
I mean, they're insignificant industries, really, if you think about it.
But they have a lot of money that they pay to politicians to do this.
Right. Right, that's it. If they hadn't been paying all this money, they'd probably actually have more in their bottom line if they focused on it.
That's kind of been a theme for the last 6 months to a year, you know, corporations running things.
I mean, longer than that for the music industry.
Oh, true.
You know, Napster was 97?
Yeah. And they eventually learned. So, you know.
They're in on this, too.
They are, but, you know, they stopped a lot of the lawsuits and the DRM, and they realize that there are better ways to make money.
Right.
And I'm hoping the movie industry, because the movie industry is really the one spearheading this.
Yes.
I'm hoping that they can eventually learn the same lesson that it took the music industry, 10, 12 years to learn much faster, and we can just get past all of this.
Yeah, it's just... There's better ways to make money.
It's been cited to death in reference to all of this, but there are two glowing examples. One most of the audience will know, the other a little obscure. Louis C.K.
Yes.
Put that comedy special out online for $5, no DRM, no restrictions. All he said was, please don't pirate it. Made $1 million.
And honestly, that's something the industry should be much more afraid of than people downloading and pirating.
Mm-hmm.
Because the problem with the industry is that there are too many middlemen and there's too much money put into promotions.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just put out a good product and
but
put it out at a reasonable price.
What Louis C.K. has proven and what Jonathan, a musician by the name of Jonathan Colton, who I'm a huge fan of, has been proving for years now. He sells all of his stuff completely independently online. Makes a living at it. Makes a pretty mm-hmm. good living. If you,
older bands like Marillion and stuff are mm-hmm. doing stuff like that
yeah.
too. Where it's just a fan, thing putting them out.
If you put out a good product, make it easy to acquire legally, mm-hmm. at a fair price, people will buy it.
Yeah.
Louis C.K. did that. Made $1 million, literally.
Yeah. Oh, more than that, I'm sure by now.
By now, yeah, that's the last figure I heard.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like I said, I'll put some links. If you haven't done so, and we're getting through to you, please call your congressperson.
Yeah, this shit can't stand.
Yeah.
This shit cannot stand, man.
My favorite, it's a little cliche, but my favorite image I've been seeing was the shot of Gandalf, "You shall not pass."
That was a great scene.
Now, finally, on to
yeah.
this week's movie. And, of course, the impromptu plot summary. Sponsored by Spandex. It's rarely a good idea.
Yeah. All right. So, we have a young high school kid. They love their comic books.
Mm-hmm.
And decides, wouldn't the world be a better place if someone just went and became a superhero. People love comic books, people love superheroes. How hard could it be?
Why hasn't anybody tried this? He says,
why hasn't anybody tried it? Exactly. He gets his ass kicked, stabbed,
hit by a car.
Hit by a car. It's not pretty.
No.
And of course he realizes that's why nobody does this, because it really does suck. You get beaten up pretty badly, and it hurts like hell. Oddly enough, though, his injuries made him better somehow.
Well, because he ended up with a plate in his head and severe nerve damage that kept him from feeling a lot of pain.
Right, right. He increased his pain threshold, and his nerve endings were all messed up. Mm-hmm. So there was no recovering after it. Once he was there, he was much better, and he even put the suit back on that he ordered, the scuba suit. And although he kind of looks like a green Asuka ninja kind of guy.
Yeah,
funny.
And it didn't really look like a wetsuit. It was kind of loose.
Yeah,
and
I don't know.
Not Gore-Tex.
Not Gore-Tex. That's wonderful. However, there were some real badasses out there who were training to be superheroes themselves. And, I almost want to talk about him now, but I gotta hold off on it. One is an ex-cop. The other is his daughter, who he'd been training since the age of 5, and in various martial arts and
guns and
just taking a bullet with the vest on and just all sorts of insane things. And you hear the gangsters talking about a guy who kind of looks like Batman, and you're wondering, like, what the hell's going on? They're thinking that he's just skimping from them.
Right.
And it turns out he was not lying after they killed him, unfortunately. That there is a dude walking around in a suit very similar to Batman's, Kevlar, with a cape and everything too. And they are trying to find out who is the superhero who is killing all of the gangsters' men, and they put a plot together to try to lure him out, and really hilarity ensues at this point.
Now, Dave says, the main character, Kick-Ass, Dave is his real name, says, why hasn't anybody tried this? Actually, a lot of people have. Shortly after the movie version of Watchmen was released, there were quite a few stories in the news about real-life costumed heroes. And I gotta admit, I'm a geek, I'm a bit of a grown-up kid. I actually thought, wouldn't it be cool to actually do that? And then I saw this movie.
Maybe that's where they got the idea from after,
Well, no, the comic actually, I think, goes back to maybe the mid-90s, I want to say.
Oh, really?
Actually,
okay.
No, it goes back well before then, maybe the early 2000s. There were some fairly dated references in the book. I should point out, I read all of the comic series yesterday, watched the
all
movie
right.
today. I probably shouldn't have done that. I'm not going to go too heavily. I think I'm just going to focus all of that into one maybe 30-second rant a little later. But I think this movie, it set out, especially the book, set out to be a realistic what if somebody tried to become a superhero.
Yeah.
Towards the end it fails a little bit in that respect. But before I get really into that, I gotta say, as I've pointed out on numerous occasions, I'm not a Nick Cage fan at all. This is one of, I think, maybe two roles I've liked him in.
This is definitely the best thing he's done since Raising Arizona.
That was the other
down.
One. This and Raising Arizona, I think, are the only two things I've liked him in.
We're talking 20 years between roles that we can not only tolerate him in, but just, they're good.
Yeah.
He's a psychotic Ned Flanders. He has no problem with just killing multiple motherfuckers.
Well said.
Yet he says, "Gosh." But he's got
Actually,
the mustache and the glasses, and I mean,
the voice is actually based on Adam West.
okay,
And
all right, yeah, I
if
can
you
see
think about
that.
it, it's exactly West's cadence
Now
at
that
that
you
time.
mention it, yes, perfect Adam West. Even the opening line that we did for this, yeah, that was a very Adam West kind of thing.
And the of course the voice in costume was based on Belle's in costume voice.
Yes.
And
So, should we get to the comic book difference? I mean,
okay.
I.
Now most of it is fairly true to the comic.
Yeah.
They, you know, change the costumes a bit. You can't fault them for that. You know, things that work on a page don't work on screen. He's not Batman in the comic. It's actually a very nondescript costume.
Right.
They really do look thrown together in the book. I didn't have an issue with that. The scene where he's quizzing Mindy, it's in the book, she's on a killing spree. But
Oh yeah.
I understand changing that. She kills, her body count's a lot higher in the book. I understand why they wouldn't want to show an 11-year-old girl killing that many people. You know, they really cut down on that. So in most, in aside from that, it's a little minor changes here and there. Nothing I have a major issue with, except for the ending. And this is a massive spoiler alert. If you haven't read the books, and you're interested, just skip ahead maybe 30 seconds. And by the way, if you haven't read the books and you've seen, you like the movie or you're at all interested, I highly recommend it. They're awesome. Okay. Two big things. Dave, when he admits to Katie that he's kick-ass and not gay,
Yeah.
instead of getting the girl, she has her boyfriend at the time kick his ass, and then she emails him a photo of her blowing her boyfriend, which Dave admits to jerking off to. Big Daddy, not really a cop in the book. You think he's a cop until just before he gets killed, and he admits that he was an accountant who hated his job, whose wife and his wife hated him, so he just one day up and left with his daughter and became
Oh,
Super Crook.
wow. Which I don't know if that makes as much sense as somebody who was actually in law enforcement and had the experience.
Well, how he learned it, yes, that does put some question on how he learned all the shit to teach her, but it just makes it so much more tragic,
It does. It
which I
does.
loved. You know, it makes what effectively was 6 years of abuse completely meaningless.
Yeah.
And, you know, Dave doesn't get the girl. The only one who gets anywhere near a happy ending is Mindy. And that's not completely because she lost her father, although, frankly, better off without him. Oh, by the way, yeah, because, you know, her mother wasn't murdered in the book, she ends up with her living with her mother and Marcus, who doesn't show up until then. So yeah, she gets a good ending. Dave doesn't get the girl. He's back where he started.
Yeah.
We find out that Big Daddy wasn't a cop. So I and of oh, and there's no jet pack, which was obviously just Hollywooding it
Yeah.
up. The big surprise in the book is a flamethrower that she pulls out just before they get out of the yellow. You know, they go to a just. When they storm Genevieve, that's the mobster's name in the book. It's
Yeah.
they changed it. When they storm his place, they come up in an elevator together, and she has him go into her backpack, and she pulls out a flamethrower.
I think they had to legally change that probably because there was an actual Genovese
Well,
crime
oh
family.
yeah, that's they got away with it in the book. Maybe they couldn't get away with it in the
Yeah.
movie. But yeah, so that's the big surprise, not the jetpack. There's also a great moment, and this I just was one of those things I didn't want to see cut. There's a break in the action in the final battle when Mindy turns to Dave and says, "Can I have a hug? I just lost my father." Or my father was just killed or something along those lines. She goes from the complete badass, you know, trained killer back to a little girl just out of nowhere. And becomes completely vulnerable, and then it's back to the killing. So yeah, those were my issues with the changes. Aside from that, and really, if you look at it outside of the book, it's pretty damn near perfect.
Well, yeah, that's how I've been thinking about this too. I mean, I didn't look at the comics because I didn't want
Yeah.
to have that preconceived notion to
I
it.
should stop doing that. I think this is the last time I'm
Yeah.
going to go out of my way to familiarize myself with source material.
Because there's a great underlying theme to this. I don't know if this actually came out of the book or not, but you kind of get the feeling that the whole superhero dynamic, we really wouldn't need them if people just gave a shit. If people just did the right thing
One of
from
my
day to day.
favorite moments that I don't think was in the book was his speech, Dave's speech when he's getting beaten up the second time.
Oh, the in front of the cameras and all that. And isn't it odd how
The I'd rather die speech, that's what it was.
how the old school newspaper, headline montage has been replaced by the likes or friends on MySpace of this one. And wow, someone had a MySpace in 2010.
Oh, I don't think we said at the top of the show. This is now part two of an impromptu Matthew Vaughn trilogy.
We're just being scatological now.
I just realized we didn't put it off. We didn't mention it. Yeah, we're
Yes.
doing his first movie next week, but we'll get to that later.
Because we have a trilogy of shit coming up, and we're really hoping to put it off. So if you have a movie
Exactly.
request, please put it in before next week.
Well, in fact, I'm just gonna put a vote out there right now. If you think we can get away with reviewing X-Men First Class to turn into a quadrilogy, let us know. We'll do it.
Or if you have a request,
Yeah.
if you've got a request that isn't Showgirls.
Okay, back to the movie at hand. Now, like I said, I had some issues, but overall, really liked it. I think, and I'm never gonna remember the actor's name, Christopher Mintz-Plasse, I want to say, McLovin.
Yes. That is who that was.
Far less annoying than usual. Kind of fit the role.
I don't know. How old is he?
16, 17, I'm gonna guess.
Where is? I have to look that up because, man, it just didn't seem like he should be driving a car.
Well, no, he also looks younger. I mean, given how, actors who are considered, are remembered for a younger role tend to age without people noticing. He's probably like 25 by
He's
now.
22.
I was close. So when this was done, he actually was old enough to drive.
Yes, he
He just
was.
doesn't look it.
Yeah.
I also liked that they called Butterfly Knives by the proper name. Also not in the book. She asks for an assault rifle. I think an M16 in the book.
Yeah.
The ballet songs were in just for the movie, and they used the proper name. I always love when they do that.
Well, obviously for Nicolas Cage's character, for Big Daddy, yeah, that would be an important thing
Yeah,
that,
good point.
it was a teaching moment.
Yeah,
So it was
exactly.
just this insane she's training her about using these different weapons and whatnot. And we have to get to her. We have to talk about the
Yes.
girl. 'Cause honestly, I can't think of a better mass murdering scene in movie
No,
history
no.
than when she goes into that den of drug dealers and just like, all right, you cunts, which one of you wants it
And
first?
incidentally, that line was what convinced Vaughn to do the movie. It's in issue 3 of the book. He saw that. He said, "Okay, I'm in."
It was taking Yoda from Attack of the Clones and combining him with Clint Eastwood from those old spaghetti westerns, and they even paid a little homage to it in the one scene in the when she's coming out of the elevator that you just knew every motherfucker was going to be dropped. You just didn't know exactly how she was going to do it. In fact, I really like to go back and watch that scene again to see how did she kill each and every one of them, because it happened so quickly.
That first time?
The elevator bank scene, where they had the Sergio Leone music
Oh, okay.
playing.
Oh, that when she when before she comes in for the big battle at the end. Okay.
Yes,
Yeah, that
yes.
was a little I think she just pulled out a gun and it was basically just shot them all.
Well, she that a different scene from what I was originally talking about, but
Oh, okay.
the first with the drug lord, but the elevator bank where she comes out, she pulls out two guns, shoots them, runs out of bullets, reloads, or either had another pair of guns, I think. And I mean, there were just a lot of very creative,
Great fight choreographies,
yes, it
particularly
was.
for
My God.
Great Girl. And the fact that they got an 11-year-old girl to convincingly pull off this choreography, props to Chloe Moretz as well.
Yeah, whoever was the choreographer, really,
And for her to pull it off that well at that age.
yeah. That it just it it's an amazing. I'd watch this movie again in a heartbeat just to like see some of that and try to figure out what the hell she did. I mean, it was throw in Jackie Chan too, I guess you could say. You've got Yoda, Clint Eastwood, and Jackie Chan in the form of an 11-year-old girl. Amazing. Now the drug dealer scene, the first one, which was just a beautiful mass murdering scene, if there ever is one.
And this is actually an issue I have with both the book and the movie.
Well,
That should have been the first time we ever saw them. There's the scene where where Big Daddy shoots her was before
yeah.
that in both cases. And
Oh, yeah.
I like that scene. It's a great swerve. You think he's just gonna shoot this little girl for no apparent reason. He's training her to take a bullet with Kevlar.
You don't think he's gonna actually shoot her. You're thinking,
Well,
oh,
but
he's just fucking around. He's gonna, and then it's like, wait, holy shit, he just shot the girl.
And I love that scene, but that should have been later. I think the first time we saw her should have been the scene with the drug dealers.
Perhaps, and they could just do a flashback of,
Or just that's a little later in the movie.
he could, ask her, how did you learn to fight like this? And then just flash back to that scene.
Or just have them doing that later. I mean, you get the impression that they didn't do that long before then. So just shifting it a little later. But that's also in the book, so that's an issue I have with both. I think that should just that is her introduction. Just basically, because the first thing you see is the drug dealer who Kick-Ass had gone there to try to intimidate being run through while
Yeah.
he's in the middle of talking to him. Or actually, while the guy is trying to intimidate Kick-Ass, threatening him, so he suddenly gets a sword through the chest. Also, the movie has a lot more humor than the books. Should be pointed out for those who plan to read them.
Really?
Yeah, it's basically a comedy. The books, not so much. Much more, I mean, there's some humor, but it's a bit more. There's a bit. It's overall a bit darker.
I think the only other objection I have to the movie, you would never hold a bazooka the way Kick-Ass held it.
No. Well, I didn't go through and observe how the weapons were used, but I'm sure there was a lot of inaccuracies.
I very rarely nitpick on things like that, because I mean, how the fuck would I know? I mean, I fired guns before and stuff. I've never fired a bazooka, but nobody would ever. He holds it under his arm.
Which looks okay because you figure the weight of it, he can't really get it on the shoulder. But yeah, you with that the amount of kick that thing must have, that would be a very bad idea.
Right, and usually there's something coming out the back.
That
There's
too.
usually a
Yes.
casing of some sort
That
that
is
comes out the back.
very fast and very hot.
Yeah, to be holding onto it, maybe because of the wetsuit, he could get away with it, maybe.
And the
I
nerve
don't.
damage.
Yeah, and the nerve damage. And also, how would it not have taken out everything? It was a very single shot bazooka that, took out one person.
And I'm sure that wasn't exactly realistic the way that scene was
Well, of course, yeah,
shot.
that dramatic
But
effect,
yeah, I'm not
shooting
gonna
him out
nitpick.
like that. But a bazooka generally takes out a whole shitload of things in its path.
But that's the thing, is it hit him, it pushed him out the window, and then it all exploded.
It's not a football being,
Yeah.
propelled out of there. It's a it's a shell, and as soon as it hits him in the chest, it's gonna go off, and it's gonna take that desk, the window,
The entire
the
room,
wall.
probably a good chunk of that floor with it.
Exactly.
But you mentioned how he's holding it, and it really speaks to, and this is not a criticism of the book or the movie, but just of, it speaks to the character. Dave's mistake was he never trained to fight.
Right.
He got the costume, he, walked around some rooftops.
It spared us the montage, however.
Yeah. I think there was a tiny couple of tiny montages. They didn't bother me in
Yeah.
this case.
They were very, very, they were practically weren't montages.
Yeah,
They were just
very, very
actual scenes of him trying to say, well, maybe if I jumped off this, it would, there wasn't a music playing and different things going on at once.
minor correction from last week. It was not South Park that ruined it, but Team America. We said South Park.
Oh,
The
I didn't even think of that.
you need a montage is actually it was in Team America.
Really? Well, it is easy to
Well,
confuse the two.
it's train that.
Same dudes, their voices.
But you'd think if you're gonna become a superhero, your first thought, and maybe this is a reflection on me, but my first thought is, how am I gonna fight?
Well,
How am I gonna defend myself? Because people are gonna be trying to kill me.
Gatling guns on the or yeah, Gatling guns on the wheelchair, man.
Well,
That's all you need.
yeah, I'm never, interesting idea. I'm not really a gun guy, but I like the thought. Kind of
Because
steampunk.
that was the other thing. Why didn't he just use the guns and
Yeah.
take everybody else out?
And well, this is the second time I've seen the movie, and I will admit, every both times I've seen it, I've been very tempted to buy a pair of Eskrima sticks. But his weapons are—they're not Eskrima sticks; they're actually billy clubs that he
Yeah.
uses like Eskrima sticks. But he obviously doesn't know how to use them. Never really learns how to use them.
Right.
I mean, he does, he's fairly successful at the end against Red Mist.
But that's the beauty of this film. It is so, in that regard, it's so realistic.
Yeah, true.
Somebody just saying, you know what? I could do that. Why don't I try doing that?
Right.
Getting their ass kicked. And it someone just happens to catch it on YouTube, and of course it just goes out of control from there.
Yeah.
So I mean that part of the movie is just so beautiful how
Yeah.
it really would go down that way.
Oh, one other little nitpicky thing. He didn't name himself in the book, and I think that was better because that's more traditional with superheroes. They don't name themselves, the media names them.
Yeah.
He said, I'm Kick-Ass, which I think it was better when the media came up with that name. But
How would
yeah.
the media ever come up with that name, though?
Oh, true. Or actually, it wasn't the media, it was YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, that is true. A teenager isn't going to think, I need weapons training. He's just going to put the suit on, go out, and try it. Because
Right.
teenagers think they're immortal.
Well, right.
That's a good point.
And then the only thing where this, completely just it's doesn't spiral away, where it goes off the whole reality path, is the other couple,
Right.
the father-daughter team, which I mean, something like that could happen where real vigilantes are like,
Oh,
we're
yeah.
in, we're with you, and go off on their own, who go on their own killing sprees.
And actually, it really doesn't break too much from reality until the jetpack.
Yeah.
That's really the only part where it really becomes fantasy. Because,
Although, what else would you want to spend $300,000 on? I think Nicolas Cage was exactly right.
Well, it was, like I said, it was a flamethrower in the book, but yeah, also unrealistic that they're going to be, hiding a flamethrower in a backpack.
I like how they introduced the jetpack.
Yeah.
How you just see the corners of it kind of sticking
You
up out
don't
of the
even know what it
box.
is. It's like the briefcase in Pulp Fiction. And
They're just, wow. Ooh.
then later you see him on it, in it,
Yeah.
hovering outside the building. And like I said, I kind of get that it was the big epic Hollywood thing.
Yeah.
But that broke reality for me. So, and that's the beauty of the story, is it is completely a realistic, relatively realistic version of what if someone tried to become a superhero.
But it does complete it where it gets out of control.
Yeah,
It's what
true,
it comes
true.
down to.
Yeah.
And it just keeps spiraling out of control.
Let's see, what else? Oh, just a little bit of trivia. The film was co-produced by Brad Pitt.
Really?
And D'Amico's goons in the credits were named Posh, Scary, Sporty, Ginger, and Baby. Nice touch.
Yeah.
I
I thought they
think.
were gonna work Shemp in there somehow.
Haha. I think I'm done with my notes.
I'm done with mine
Pretty
as
much
well.
done? Okay. On to sequels and remakes.
Well, obviously they left room for a sequel in the end.
Kind of. There were. Well, actually, did they?
Yeah.
Because, Mindy's has a normal life, relatively speaking. Dave has pretty much retired because now he has a girlfriend. Big Daddy's
But
dead.
there's the red mist.
Oh, yeah, that's right, the Red Mist. Also, another difference in the book, he's emailing Kick-Ass and basically threatening him and saying, everybody loves the villain. It was a little better. I mean, I didn't hate the way they ended it this one, but it made a little more sense in the book. However, director Matthew Vaughn has expressed interest in a sequel. Vaughn also said, we're not planning one.
I could see a sequel done to this. I don't know if you could top this, though.
And the most recent thing was on in April of this year, Jane Goldman, co-writer, said, I don't think it's going to happen at the moment. It's not in the works. He's doing different things. So
Yeah.
it looks like it's been. Oh, okay. I should read these things before we record.
There's been an update.
On
What?
October 16th of this year, when asked about the sequel, Moritz replied, "Maybe I can't say anything, but a little bit of news is coming. Just something we've got up our sleeves." So, it said that the sequel will be announced soon. They are doing a sequel. Confirmed there will be a sequel for the comic book, so it just makes sense that they're going to do one for the movie.
Yeah, and think of how many movies there that have just been shit
Oh yeah.
movies that they've made sequels to. This movie dominated. I mean, it was a really great thing bit on the Opie and Anthony show. Comedian Bob Kelly was talking about this movie just before it had come out and how excited he was about it, and they made fun of him, like he just thought he was insane because a movie where like an 11-year-old girl cursing and doing action scenes, that's never gonna go. And of course they all had to apologize when it came
Of
out.
course. On paper, the idea isn't that good if you think about it.
No, it's a terrible idea for a movie. It's awful. You could have an 11-year-old girl like killing mobsters
Or
and
just the
drug
whole thing
dealers
of,
and stuff.
a high school kid trying to become a superhero and then running into the 11-year-old girl cursing serial, trained killer 11-year-old girl and her father. Yeah, it
Right,
really doesn't
second
work on
shot at the
paper.
impromptu plot summary. Yeah, a high school geek loses his mom to was it cancer? I think she died from
Brain aneurysm.
brain aneurysm. Right. And decides he's going to be a superhero, gets his ass kicked several times, sent to the hospital, almost killed, still tries it anyway, runs into an 11-year-old girl who is a mass murderer.
Yeah. I almost said serial killer, but mass murderer is better. More accurate.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, you're thinking like that is a terrible idea for a movie,
Yeah.
and yet it's probably one of the best mainstream movies that have been put out in years.
Yes. Oh, and I gotta say, just rolling back to the review, when he gets hit by the car, hilarious. I mean, it's one of those you don't want to laugh moments, but it's like the girl getting eaten by the shark in Sharktopus, where it the bungee jumping girl, where it's just so sudden you have to laugh at it.
Right.
The car just comes out of nowhere and hits him, and it's completely out of nowhere and sudden, and it just becomes funny for that reason.
It's definitely like a old school Peter Jackson, Sam
Yeah,
Raimi sort
yes.
of thing, where you just think the action's over and then something absurd happens. And just, oh my God.
So, on to brains.
On to brains.
Now, I gotta take a little bit away because of the deviations of from the ending, and Big Daddy's ending and Dave's ending being different, and I think more Hollywood and less interesting. But I think it's only gonna be yeah. I'm only gonna take away a half brain. I'm going 4.5.
I think this all worked as is. Even the insane Hollywood ending of
If I
flying
hadn't read the
jetpacks
book, it
and
would have been a definite 5. That's all. I'll say that.
flying jetpacks
Yeah.
and a single bazooka shell just flying out like that, and then they kind of do like a weird reverse Superman sort of thing where they're flying away together like that. Was
Yeah.
that in the comic too, or?
No.
Yeah, sorry, it wasn't a jetpack.
No.
But yeah, I think this is about as five-brained a movie as you're gonna get.
So, what did we learn?
We learned that when you order it, you gotta get the Gatling guns.
And I learned that I really don't want to be a superhero. So, until next week when we will be reviewing a Layer Cake, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google Plus, links to subscribe via our RSS and iTunes. As we always say, please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. It'll really help us out. You can also find links to the movie list, everything we've reviewed so far and are planning to review up at least through the next trilogy of shit. And if maybe if, I think a few after that. The big bus is our placeholder. Y'all know that by now, I'm sure.
Wait, what?
You can also find the forum to suggest a movie. Please suggest
Suggest a
something
movie.
so we can put off Showgirls longer. Also, our store. If you buy something from the store and send us a picture of yourself wearing it, we will put your picture on the site. Also, you can contact us, send an email to zombietakeout@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZTO1 or 414-368-9861 for the alphanumerically challenged. Please always remember that you will always be calling from the middle of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
So until next week, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you
There
are.
you are.
Show's over, motherfuckers.
A dialogue one. Whoa, man, that looks even better than it did in the picture. Child, you know, that's because in the picture it didn't have zombie takeout.
Okay.
Nice.
We'll do it. Yeah. I'll take the first line. What is it? Well, man, that looks even better than it did in the picture.
Yeah, you gotta do a little girl voice though. Just a child voice is fine.
Oh man, that looks even better than it did in the picture. Okay.
Child, you know that's because in the picture it didn't have zombie takeout.
In the picture.
Nice.
Who says nice, you or me?
You do.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, it's Mindy's line, right?
Yeah, it was one of those like, oh yeah,
I
that's
try
it.
to avoid those, but we'll do it. All right.